Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 2, chapter 7, verse 10. Nabe Ashavrishabasha Sudev Sudevi Sorry. Nabe Ashavrishabasha Sudevi Shunu. Yuvacha chara samadrig jada yoga charyam. Yat param hamsyam rishaya param amananti. Swasta prashanta karana parimukta sangha. Nabe Ashavrishabasha Sudev Sudevi Sorry. Nabe Ashavrishabasha Sudevi Shunu.
Nabe Ashavrishabasha Sudevi
Shunu. Yuvacha Chara Samadrig Jada Yoga Charyam. Yat param hamsyam rishaya param amananti. Swasta prashanta karana parimukta sangha. Nabe by Maharaj Nabi. Asho. Personality of Godhead, Rishabha. Rishabha. Asha became Sudevi. Sudevi. Sunu, the son of Ya, who? Vai, certainly. Chachara, performed. Samadrik, equibalanced. Jada, material. Yogacharyam, performance of yoga. Yat, which. Paramahamsyam, the high stage of perfection. Rishaya, the learned sages. Padam, situated. Situation, sorry. Amananti, do accept. Swasta, self-reposed. Prashanta, suspended. Kardana, the material senses. Parimukta, perfectly liberated. Sangaha, material contamination. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord appeared as the son of Sudevi, the wife of King Napi, and was known as Rishabhdev. He performed materialistic yoga to equibalance the mind. This stage is also accepted as the highest perfectional situation of liberation, wherein one is situated in oneself and is completely satisfied. Out of many types of mystic performances for self-realization, the process of Jada Yoga is also one accepted by authorities. This Jada Yoga involves practicing becoming like a dumb stone and not being affected by material reactions. Just as a stone is indifferent to all kinds of attacks and re-attacks of external situations. Similarly, one practices Jada Yoga by tolerating voluntary infliction of pain upon the material body. Such yogis, out of many self-infliction methods, practice plucking out the hairs on their heads without shaving and without any instrumental help. But the real purpose of such Jhana Yoga practice is to get free from all material affection and to be completely situated in the self. At the last stage of his life, Emperor Rishabhdev wandered like a dumb madman, unaffected by all kinds of bodily mistreatment. Seeing him like a madman, wandering naked with long hair and a long beard, less intelligent children and men in the street used to spit on him and urinate on his body. He used to lie in his own stall and never move, but the stall of his body was fragrant like the smell of fragrant flowers, and a saintly person would recognize him as a Paramahansa, one in the highest stage of human perfection. One who is not able to make his stall fragrant should not, however, imitate Emperor Rishabhdev. The practice of Jhana Yoga was possible for Rishabhdev and others on the same level of perfection. But such an uncommon practice is impossible for an ordinary man. The real purpose of Jhana Yoga, as mentioned here in this verse, is prashanta karanaha, or subduing the senses. The whole process of yoga, under whatever heading it may be, is to control the unbridled material senses and thus prepare oneself for self-realization. In this stage specifically, this Jhana Yoga cannot be of any practical value. This Jhana Yoga cannot be of any particular practical value. But on the other hand, the practice of Bhakti Yoga is feasible because it's just suitable for this age. The simple method of hearing from the right source, Srimad Bhagavatam, will lead one to the highest perfectional stage of yoga. Rishabhdev was the son of King Nabi and the grandson of King Agnitara, and he was the father of King Bharat, after whose name planet Earth was called Bharatvaj. Rishabhdev's mother was also known as Meru Devi. Although her name is mentioned here as Sudevi, it is sometimes proposed that Sudevi was another wife of King Nabi. But since King Rishabhdev is mentioned elsewhere as the son of Meru Devi, it is clear that Meru Devi and Sudevi are the same person under different names. Avirashas Rishabhashas Devi Shunur Yuvacha Chara Samadrik Jara Yoga Charyam Yat Paramangsyam Rishaya Param Amananti Swasta Prasanta Karana Parimukta Sangha. The Lord appeared as the son of Sudevi, the wife of King Nabi, and was known as Rishabhdevi. Performed materialistic yoga to equibalance the mind. This stage is also accepted as the highest perfectional situation of liberation, wherein one is situated in oneself and is completely satisfied. Om Agyana Timurana Shaganandjana Shalakaya Chakshur Om Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Guru Nama. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Putale Simati Shivaram Swami Tanami. All glories to Sri Guru. So, it's a little, a brief picture of Rishabhdev's life here, as are all the purports, so the translations, the stanzas, the sloks here, of the different incarnations of Godhead. And there is some small picture of how, but vital picture to understand what kind of a character he must have been. What isn't said here is that when he was emperor, he was a tremendously powerful and innovative personality. He created lots of different types of work that would engage the different types of living entities that were extant at that time. He created someone else created that. Yeah, he was a tremendous person, great social asset, so to speak. It was an absolutely ideal king. And then the shloka here talks more about the most important part of his life, which was the self-realization period of his life, where he manifested himself as the divine being that he was. But prior to that, I don't know if it's on here, but it's very interesting reading. I don't know if I can get it on here or not, but is it okay if I just read a little bit about his life? Because it's not something that we know so much about. When he was a prince, Rishabhdev was highly endowed, far-sighted, and industrial individual. He had a profound insight into human psychology. Looking at the needs, the times, and society, he evolved numerous arts, crafts, and trades, and taught them to people with the right aptitude and physical and mental capacities. That's incredible, isn't it? Did anybody know that? Anyway, I didn't. So, to some he taught farming, to others the trade of agricultural produce. He invented the alphabets, language, and the numbers, along with the tools for writing. For self-defense, for those of you who love a little bit of a punch-up, he evolved martial arts and taught these to individuals with strong physique. He also established the systems of social security and penal codes, pottery, architecture, music, dance, and many other arts and crafts that enrich the human society in the field of knowledge, arts, entertainment, administration, etc. These are said to be some of his contributions. Then he became nominated to become the first king of that age. And this the descriptions of his of the rest of his life are also quite amazing. And but one that Srila Prabhupada focuses very strongly on is the Jada Yoga process that he was performing. And it's actually horrific. You know, we should consider ourselves lucky that we're trying for self-realization in the age of Kali. By the nine processes of bhakti, we're able, by hearing and chanting or any one of those processes, we can obtain self-realization. But in that age, he was, it described how he pulled clumps of his hair out when he started to perform his Jada Yoga. And I don't know if, I may be speculating, but Indra appeared at that time and told him to stop and said it looked nice the way it was with four clumps of hair pulled out and there was some more left, and then he said stop there. But I don't know if that was Indra, you know, doing his usual stuff of stopping people doing austerities because they become too powerful. That's my speculation. Forgive me, Indra, if I'm maligning you here. But he just pulling clumps of hair out. I mean, I won't even go to the barbers, let alone pull clumps of hair out. So, such an incredible personality he was. And then you see, he wasn't just thinking of himself prior to his own self-realization. He actually was concerned with society, making sure that they had everything that they needed to develop. So, and Prabhupada speaks about his stool that was fragrant. Apparently, I read somewhere else that for 50 miles around, you could smell this beautiful fragrant stool. And it seems a little hard for us to actually countenance the fact that these things were going on. The Jada Yoga practice technique, and prior to that, the incredible social reforms he made. And then we hear that he would lay in his stall and not bothered about that. And yet it was so fragrant that people were amazed by it. And yet other people thought him such a fool and an idiot, etc. And passed urine on him, which is a great travesty. But he wasn't bothered. He didn't take any notice. He would just continue shining on like he was. And as I said, the stall... Well, it's not something that we really want to mention in a Bhagavatam class, but here it is, and it was fragrant. It's hard for us to believe such a thing, but, you know, this is Godhead, he can do anything he likes. I remember when I was in Assam, I was learning some mantras for healing off of the governor of Assam, who was really a beautiful person, fantastic character. And he had that, I mean, if we doubt that these superhuman things can take place, he had that city where he was, his body smelled fragrant, beautiful. And he was embarrassed about it, of course. And he prayed, he was praying hard to his guru to please take it away, because he wouldn't become, you know, he would become proud of it. Whereas I'm thinking, well, some of that, come on, give me that. That would be great, you know, that would be so interesting. But even so, his bodily, one of his friends said that when he would send his clothes to the dry cleaners or to the cleaners, they would all smell this beautiful smell of some flower or another. And the cleaner would say to him, oh, your clothes, what are you using on your clothes? And he'd go, oh, it's some perfume my wife puts on onto my clothes to make it like that. So here we can see just some small living entity has got this opulence. So we can see that the possessor of all opulence can have them to the extent where their toilet smells beautiful. And of course, Prabhupada warns that if you don't try to follow this program, because until you're still smelling beautiful, then it's not going to be a good idea. So he also goes on to say how later on in the purport, he speaks about how these practices are impossible for the living entities. And maybe several people in that age were able to perform them, but not even the yogis of that age were able to do what he was, because he was Bhagavan Rishabhdev. And then he goes on to speak about this age that we're living in, that one, just by following one of the nine processes of bhakti, one can become perfect. And then, I don't know if I can get it on here, but I broke my glasses just before I came to so I'm just a blind man. Broke my glasses when I was on tour in Scotland just before I came here, and someone shook hands with me. I was in Findhorn, I was telling you about yesterday, and someone shook hands with me, and my glasses went bing, and I thought, I'd like to have that. That would be a very good one too. I said, can you do the same with my anatas? just shake my hand again, let it ping. It was amazing. So now I've got to do all the, I've got measured up for new glasses, but I it's going to take a little time. So I'm having to swap between glasses to try to read what's here. So the nine processes of bhakti, which fortunately we have been blessed with, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam, parasevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakyam, atmani, vedanam. These nine characteristics are certainly held to be the best of all attainments, listening to and glorifying Vishnu, which is what we try to do on a daily basis, remembering him, serving him, his lotus feet, worshipping him reverently, offering obeisances and prayers to him, becoming his servant, considering him one's best friend, and atmanivedanam, surrendering to him. So, the next, Rupa Goswami's next verse is, he says, when steadiness is in this bhakti is attained, one can achieve perfection in any of the primary or subordinate angas, according to his natural inclination. He continues by mentioning various exemplary devotees who attain perfection. I think Maharaj mentioned this the other day. Maharaj Parikshit attained the highest perfection simply by hearing about Lord Vishnu, Shukdev by glorifying him, Prahlad by remembering the Lord, excuse me, and Lakshmi by worshipping the feet of Mahavishnu. Maharaj Prithu attained similar perfection by venerating the Lord. Akrura by offering prayers unto him. Hanuman attained perfection by being a servant of Lord Ramachandra. Arjun by being Krishna's friend. And Bali Maharaj by dedicating everything to the lotus feet of Krishna. That's from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So, the thing that we have to work towards, or at least I have to work towards, is this steadiness. At the end of Gita, when Arjun says to Krishna, my dear Lord Krishna, O infallible one, my illusion is now gone, and I have attained, is it my memory, or I've regained my memory, and now I am ready to follow your instruction. I've become free from all doubt and steady in my purpose. So he says, now I'm ready to surrender myself to you. So Arjuna attained that steadiness. He'd become equipoised through the instructions. So sometimes we think, well, none of that's happening for me, I'm not really. But we know that if we look at ourselves, we find that maybe we haven't quite attained that steadiness. And then when we do get that steadiness, that nishtha, then we find we start to get more and more of a taste. But steadiness is so important, both in ourselves, and we eschew that and appreciate that in others. Because without steadiness, we're not going to grow up. We're not going to develop nicely. You know, from our parents, some of us have been through difficult times with our parents when they weren't steady, or there was some ups and downs in the family, and it disturbed us so much, we became a little dysfunctional ourselves. And we depend on steadiness. Our body tries to give us that status of steadiness and that equilibrium by being hungry at the right times, by going to the passing, our waste at the correct times, and the whole process of living becomes tolerable. But if we can't go to the toilet at the right time, can't eat at the right time, can't sleep at the right time, everything becomes so difficult. I know some devotees like that. Their health is not good due to whatever. Perhaps some unsteadiness in their eating habits, perhaps they couldn't sleep. So steadiness is such an important thing. The sun comes up at the same time every day. The seasons change. Of course they have their variations. Those variations are based greatly on how mankind has become unkind to Mother Earth, unkind to the creatures. And so the Adidevic principle comes in and gives us a few smashes, and then some seasonal changes become apparent, and life becomes difficult. So because of the unsteadiness of man, because of his unsteadiness in wanting to achieve domination of others, this is a kind of an unsteadiness. If you're steady and you feel good about yourself, you don't want to steal someone else's property, someone else's woman, someone else's country. You're just quite happy in yourself, you know, then there's no need for that. But this, fortunately, this process of bhakti yoga can help us to achieve that steadiness of bhakti parishano bhava virakti anyanta chaisa trika eka kala. Prabodhananda Saraswati says, this bhakti process is so nice, it's like eating. When you eat, you get a nice taste in your mouth, you feel that pleasure of eating, and you become filled, full, that the tummy feels complete and satisfied, and then the rest of the body becomes ready to like rock and roll and to do service, you know. So that wonderful process of bhakti ensures us that if we follow that process, which is doable for us, even I can do it, and you know, I mean, against my will most of the time, but even I can do it, and some of the senses become under control. They don't become so virulent and so acquisitive. And the mind becomes shanti, shanti, peaceful. You feel a good feeling inside. And what do you want to do? You want to pass that good feeling on to others. So we're fortunate, unfortunate in a sense, that every avatar that has come, we've managed to avoid him and avoid his teaching and dive through the net. You know, when Matsya avatar came, you know, and
big stuff. Yeah, man, I'm fighting all that water, man, you know. Yeah. And then, you know, all the others, the different ones, they came at different times, and we just had some reason to avoid them and to think that they were, you know, a disturbance to our plans. I could just imagine. But those who had eyes to see, they were very attached straight away to the personality of God, because he's all attractive. He's all attractive. When he came as Matsya, the daughters of Varun fell in love with him. Instantly, proving that what a demon I am to have avoided him and sort of looked the other way when he came, or said, "Hey man, get someone got a towel? I just dried myself off of that stuff. Let's seek higher ground." But the higher ground that the daughters of Varuna wanted was to be with you. They fell in love with him. I mean, imagine falling in love with a fish. What a fish it must have been. And yet, some or other, we were sleeping. I don't know, maybe we decided we didn't want to know anything about this stuff. We wanted to forget about everything. And we just, so Krishna said, "Okay, I can get you born into a stone. You can go to sleep for millions of years and not see any of this." But fortunately, sometime or other, due to the avatars' appearances and the great saints who followed them and taught their teachings and carried on their the memory of their incarnations, we have begun to awaken. And now we're in this very exciting time. Please forgive me if any of you are eternal associates of the Lord, and none of this applies to you. I'm just preaching to myself. But you know, this age is the most difficult and of course the most sublime, because we can have Raja Krishna take us out on Harinam and charm all the people in the street to enjoy this holy name. This holy name is Chintamani, the awarder of all things, and not for wealth or prowess or the liberation that it brings does the Vaishnava serve it with tongue and lip and ear, but how to know Lord Krishna and bring him ever near. There are some things the name has not, and these I must confess. He has no beginning, no end, no mundane consciousness. For Krishna and his name are one, and ever are the same. Whatever is in Krishna is in his holy name. And we've having that proved to us on a daily basis, both in our own lives, when we become steady and listen attentively to the chanting, we get some taste, something comes. Every one of us have had something, sometime. Took me years and years and years to get a small taste, but despite myself, one day Krishna said, "You know, that's what it's..." "What? My God, that's what it's about, is it?" Oh. And everyone's had their moments. Something's happened to them that has turned it around. Of course, you know, then you think, "Oh, I'm a great chanter. Yeah, it's me. Yeah, watch him go. I can get Krishna to come in. I can get these feelings all the time." And all of a sudden, Krishna goes, "Bye. Just leaving you now until you get over that one." And so, and then he went away for 10, 20 years or something like that. And then slowly you realize, "Oh, Jayadev, did you do something wrong there?" No, you're following the process. But who's following the process when you're thinking that you're number one? There was a song in the 70s. "I am the one and only. No one can take it away from me." But Krishna took it away from me. So someone took it. Someone took it. I thought it was him. I didn't like his classes. I thought he was a temple commander. He was a bit rude. I thought it was someone else. But it was me who took it away. So, this process that we've been gifted, thank God it's not Jada Yoga. Pulling out clumps of hair, that's what Rishabh did. Pulled out clumps of hair. I mean, how strong you've got to be to do that, first of all. You've got to be the personality that's got to pull out hair, because you can hang by hair, can't you? But I was saying before you came in, it's amazing. Brudge, before you came in, I was saying that you know, like pulling out clumps of hair. I won't even go to the barber's, let alone pull out clumps of hair. So, oh my God, we're so lucky to be here in Kali Yuga. You know, the yogis and the jnanis, they're thousands of millions of years performing their austerities, thousands of millions, not thousands and millions, thousands of millions of years to get a little glimpse of the light that issues forth from Krishna's toenails. And we think, well, that's pretty close. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, actually, that nearness that they achieve is actually way off, you know, way, 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 millions and billions of miles away from Krishna in the white light. They can't even slightly approach Krishna with that. And in Brahman, same thing, Prabhupada says, in Brahman, people there, after some while, they want loving exchange. They come back down to the earth. And you know, I used to think, that's weird. How would you want, you know, you're real chilled out in Brahman. Yes! Wow! Whoa! You know, hearing the sound of God any moment. It's not God, it's the sound of God. It's not the personality of God, it's name, it's the sound of God. People think it's his name. It's not, it's the sound of him. And they're there going, this is great, fantastic, merged out, bliss, no rent to pay, no one to, you know, answer to for this or for that, no wife to nag you, no husband to be cruel to you or whatever. Stuff is going on. Why would you want to leave there? You want to leave because there's no love there. And you come down. Funny, if you accept if you accept the work that I do in my past life therapy, I brought so many people, non-devotees as well, into Brahman. It just comes up. So many people have been there. We've all been there at one time. And then I'd say to them, okay, what is it like? They said, oh, this is just indescribable bliss. Okay. I said, do you stay there forever then? I said, because you're here right now with me in the physical body. You don't stay in Brahman forever. And they go, oh, no. I said, go to the time when you leave Brahman. I said, why are you leaving Brahman? They go, something missing. I want loving exchange. I want loving exchange. I tell you, I swear to you, I've heard that from non-devotees dozens of times. You cannot be happy there. It's not possible. Only the tips of the toes of whose lotus feet are attained by the yogis who aspire after the transcendental and betake themselves to pranayama by drilling the respiration, or by the yogi, or by the jnanis who try to find out the non-differentiated Brahman by the process of elimination, extending over thousands of millions of years. And Prabhupada's asking us just for a few short years. Most of us don't live past 60 in his comment. Sorry to say that, but so many wonderful people have gone at such a young age. So great saintly people have gone. So it seems that the life expectancy of ISKCON is perhaps not that long. So what are we asking? What's Prabhupada asking of us? A few short years just to chant Hare Krishna. Be nice to others. And if you can't do the 64 limbs of yoga, which I'm sure I can't, it comes down to two things. Not even five, but two things. Develop attachment to the holy name and be nice to other people. And of course we know what nice is. We know that nice is actually not just being, you know, humble and kind and sensitive and supportive, but actually giving them the holy names of Krishna in such a nice way that they don't even know sometimes they've been given it. Or if they do know it, they appreciate it. And that's our job. That's all we've got to do. And it's hard sometimes because sometimes, you know, this one upsets us, or that one does that, or someone pricks our false ego. But if we do it, the treasure that's waiting for us is enormous. It's enormous. And you have sweet, loving exchanges with the devotees that are beyond compare. When I was just up in... I tell you, this is a fact. When I went to Gold Coast, not that I haven't had these exchanges here as well, You know Jamal, Arjun and Subangi? I was staying with their son. And I tell you, he's so kind. He's so thoughtful. He's so dharmic. That at times I was talking to him and listening to him, and I nearly had to cry with the opulence of his simplicity and sincerity. And I was thinking, I can't take much more of this. This is too much. He's been so kind. And you know, like, it was anything you want, everything you want, it's all there. And I'm thinking to myself, who am I? Just some blinking rock and roll, you know, superannuated has-been. Like, you know, when I was walking through a crowd and we were going to this restaurant, someone pushed me aside and I said to Subhagi, doesn't he know who I used to be? Not who I am, who I used to be. And, you know, then you think, you stand in front of a devotee, a real devotee, and they say, how can I serve you? You go, oh, really? Well, I thought, I can't ask him to do that. I can't ask him to do that, you know. But you just feel overwhelmed with the kindness. This is such a beautiful movement to be in. And when you get that kind of kindness, you've got to pass it on. If you haven't got it yourself, you've got to get it from someone and pass it on. Because to do that to someone, to make their day feel wonderful, it's just what we're living for, isn't it? And when I'm so egotistical, but when I please the devotees, I think it's a good part of my ego is enjoying it, you know, is thinking, this is worth living for, this is worth living for. I'm not a saint, I'm a big sinner, but I've got hope because I've come to the right place. I know this is the door that you knock on when you're fallen. And this, when they say he built a house that everyone can live in, you have, all I have personal proof of myself, if I'm still allowed to do it, even what to speak, giving Bhagavatam class, this is the place to be. The place to be is the space. The space to be is the place for me where I can find my tranquility. For in my heart, my joyous spirit calls. It's love to share with each one and all. So let our hearts shine on endlessly and make this place a space to be. So it's a place to be and a space to be because of us as well, because of Prabhupada, but it's been handed down through his disciples and his grand disciples for us. It's safekeeping, and we have to just be kind, be true, be real, be authentic. On Thursday night, I'm going to do some songs from my protest album and some mantra choir stuff. And in that, there's a song about authenticity. We have to be authentic. It's like some devotees can spread themselves so wide and far, and they're so amazing at what they can do. And some of others, like myself, can only just be a bit of an entertainer and a bit of a joke and a laugh. But still, it's all right. Still, it's okay if you do that with the right intention. And I like to be authentic myself. Sorry, maybe my illusion that I think I'm authentic. And also, I like to see other people being authentic. I don't like to crush that in others. And you can always look and find something in someone that is so amazing that you can really feel everyone is better than you. Seriously, you just have to look and find something. And if everyone's got something, I could go right through the whole audience now and tell you what I've perceived of each person here about something that is better than I've got. I'm not being humble. It's just there. That beauty is there in everyone. And I could, seriously, it might drive you nuts and it might embarrass you. But each one of you, I could say something about you now that I yet to achieve and yet to aspire for. Because it's just amazing. So that will shine on. You know, that was that Pink Floyd song, Are You Crazy Diamonds? So we're all crazy, and Krishna's a nut. They don't belong in this world. That's why they're considered mad by many people. And even with ourselves, we think, God, you know, that's amazing. Like I saw one Prabhupada disciple just doing this spinning. Have you seen that spinning and turning, spinning and turning, spinning and turning? At Mayapur? No. not you, but you're wonderful. But and he was also wonderful. Your spin in turn is what I remember mentioning it last time I was here. How great that is, and I'd like to be like that, but I can't. I'm just an old, you know, something or other. I won't say the word. Something did come in my mind, and I just stopped it from coming out. It's Bhagavatam class. And I saw him turning and turning and turning and turning and turning in Mayapur in Vrindavan. I saw him again turning and turning and turning. Like the, maybe he was in a previous life, a dervish or something like that. And I was thinking, is this guy nuts? You know, is he a bit mad? Is he? And then one day I sat near him purposely just to hear him speak. And I could hear he was extremely realized and was speaking about Krishna in such a way, you know, and he was dancing. And I'm thinking, he's mad. And I'm looking and listening and I'm thinking, oh, Jayadev, you're mad. You don't have what they call... Your enviousness is such that you go to any length to justify itself. And so I do this song about roots. And it's about just getting down and dirty with Mother Earth and living nicely and real, you know, and get your roots down. Because if you want to reach for the heavens, what you have to have is a strong structure below. So be real. Don't just live in a, oh, Krishna, hurry, oh. And everybody's, I mean, you can if you, that's how you feel, but most of the time we don't. We're in this world and we're having the battle through it. So we've got to get our roots down, be practical, and then we can really reach down, down roots, putting down roots, shooting up the chips that go high in the sky, connection below, connection above. Reaching your mother, connected in love. Down, down roots, putting down roots. Shooting up the shoots that go high in the sky. Connection below, connection above. Reaching your father, connected in love. That's how it works for me. Just be real, be honest. Don't be offensive. If you're a bit offensive, try to curtail it a little bit. Don't sing too loud. Don't rock it and roll it too much. Because I do rock and roll it a bit too much. And sometimes I get told off for it. And sometimes other people like it. But you've got to watch where you go and what you do and cut the cloth according to the width, you know, that's there. So each one of us has, we have to refine our senses a little bit, you know. Like in kirtan, we can go bang, bang, crash, crash. In bhajan, we should just cut it down a little bit, sing nicely, and not want our voice to stick out, you know, and be. And in similarly, in everything we do, we should just have a gentle, tender look at ourselves. Be kind to ourselves. I try to be kind to myself and to others and treat every one as good sisters and brothers. I try to do good wherever I may. It just feels so good to live my life that way. These are some songs I'm doing for kids at the moment. Grungi's singing them. I've got a copy. If anybody wants to make a CD copy, you can come to me and see it. So we're just little kids come at the lotus feet of Prabhupada to learn this process of bhakti yoga. We're just children, and we have to almost be potty trained, isn't it? You know, sometimes some of the things I do go, oh my God, I'm so gross. Why am I doing that? I should be doing like this. So Prabhupada is trying to make us gentlemen. At the same time, he was always careful to not chop someone too hard if they saw that they were, they were genuine. That's what from what I can presume, sometimes there were different instructions for different people. And you think, well, he said that, so that applies everywhere. But actually, for other people, he would say something else. So we need a little bit of discrimination to understand and talk it over with senior people as to what you're saying. But far as I can understand, Prabhupada's mood was to encourage people from where they were at. You know, like when the drunk came in and bought something in like that, the toilet roll. It was a great thing. It was a wonderful thing if you think about it. He was thinking from his heart, how can I help these people? So it should be that should be clapped, regaled as much as someone doing a fantastic album or a wonderful class or something. So everybody's got something to give. Yesterday my brother-in-law came. He's not a devotee, but he's a nice boy, you know, he's a sensitive person. And we were talking. I said, let's go down the beach and have a decaf cappuccino. Sorry to tell you what I'm like. But we went down we watched the waves, and he told me about, you know, his life and how things. He'd been here in Melbourne for 30 years or something like that. And then he started to talk about his childhood, and I could see that he was struggling and suffering, and then a few heavy things had happened to him, as they do as you get older. You get smashed, especially in family life. Family life, you know, you've got so many responsibilities. You know, I've got what I consider is quite good karma. But how can you be happy? How can you consider your karma good when friends or relatives or other people just getting smashed around you? So it's I've got terrible karma in that sense. And I observed what he was saying, and I said to him, would you like to come back to the room and I just to see if I can do a little bit of stuff, you know? Please forgive me if this is askance from Srimad Bhagavatam, but the point is that he came back and Stoka Krishna was in my room the other day and he said something. And I thought, Prabhu, sorry. And he said something, he's a therapist, you know, and he does something like what I do. But he said this line, and he said something like, go now to the time in your life where if this issue was resolved or cleared, your problem would be solved. And so, hang on a second, I've got to write that down. So I wrote it down. And then, I was doing this relaxation and helping my son, my brother-in-law, sorry to speak about his issues in front of us, but I know that you're sensitive people, it's not that you're going to, but it's just a way to show you, in that small moment in time, how we can turn as someone towards Krishna. So I remembered what he'd said. I'd relaxed him, give him all the tools to help him pass through these difficulties he was going through. And then I thought, no, I need to uproot this as well. I need to uproot it. And I looked around and there was Stoka Krishna's little words there. And I went, blah, 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 blah. Bang, he went back to when he was 8 and he was lost and lonely and outside. And he was a latchkey kid. You know what a latchkey kid means? It means when both parents are working, as many of our parents were in the 50s. We were post-war, everybody was poor. And, you know, he hardly had enough to eat and stuff like that. And he was just, so both his parents were out. He'd come home from school. It was one of those typical English days where it rained and rained and rained. It was cold. And he was standing there. And then suddenly he felt this vulnerability. My parents are not here. My brothers and sisters are not here. I'm feeling alone. I'm feeling vulnerable. And, all his anxieties today, where he worries about things, where they all come from. 1-2 testing. 1-2 testing. So, bamba ba bamba bamba ba bamba ba bamba ba bamba dang a dang dang a ding a dong ding Krishna. Just a sound check. So, it's coming from there. That's where all his anxieties now about worrying that's coming. So we got rid of it. And then I said, Pete, can I ask you something? Do you know what mantra means? And he said, not really, no. He's a very nice boy. So I said, man is mind, which you're suffering with, and tra is freeing, which you know, there's a way out of that. And he said, well, I didn't know that. I said, would you feel I'm taking a liberty if I just ask you, if you could just try to do this each day? And he said, no, I could try and do it in the mornings when I'm before work and stuff like that. I said, Pete, that'd be so nice. And then when he went away, he said, would you write that out for me? That's another great sign, you know. Write it out. It was so sweet. So I wrote it out, gave it to him. I went downstairs and one of the ladies gave me a piece of paper and wrote it out for him. And then he took it. We went across to his car and I gave him a hug. He gave me a hug. And he went, hey, you know, like, hey there. And I went, what? And he went, and he kissed me on the cheek there. And I went, hey. And I kissed him on the cheek as well. He was so grateful, you know. Please, I'm not trying to reveal someone else's private stuff, but I'm sure in the context, or even praise myself. But it's just that we've got to be out looking. What kind of impact can we have on people that will say, this is the place to be. That's the space for me where I want to be. Or where I can find my tranquility. What's the Shippam Bhavati Dharma Masaswachani. We can get peace just easily. It quickly comes. But on the top of that, we can offer so much more. We can offer love. But we've got to be a conduit for that love. So if we observe ourselves and see those things that are annoying other people, and if they're not justified, if it's not the truth you're speaking, or then look at yourself and curtail it. Or listen to others when they ask you something. Please, Prabhu, please don't do that. It's not right. Fit in with the others. Oh, I don't want to be part of the boot camp. I want to stand out. Krishna's boot camp is a glorious thing. Not that I'm qualified to speak about it, but the manjaris don't even require or want or need personal contact with Krishna. For me, I'm thinking, oh man, I'm a gopi, man, I want to get in there and have a big dance up. The manjaris are thinking, no, just let me serve in my group nicely. The little thing I do, maybe it's just making camphor, or maybe it's stringing together a garland. Oh God, how boring is that? You know, I'm thinking. We have no idea that being insignificant is the most significant thing that we can do for ourselves. And boot camp is not what we think it is. Oh, I've got to fit in with the others. I can't stand out and let my voice or my words ring above the others. No, you're just Joe Bloggs. Just Joe Bloggs, that'll be fine. No, I don't do Joe Bloggs. I want to be... now the end is near, and so I did it my way. Frank Sinatra did it his way, but what did he do at the end? He begged the Pope, please come, I will give you $5 million, please come and absolve me. The Pope said no. I'm not downing him, poor thing, he gave a lot of people a lot of pleasure. But the thing is that, you know, when you're giving a lot of people a lot of pleasure, you're thinking, I'm the pleasure giver. Okay, take the karma for that. So, oh God, I'm going on. What's the time? What time does the class finish? Is it 8:30?
9.
You mean I've got to speak about myself longer? Oh, it would be such a difficult... Oh, but I'll try. So, anyway, no jada yoga. I don't want you pulling yourself out. If you do it, it's called self-harming in this age. And you shouldn't do it. But we can attain that steadiness by the process of bhakti yoga. We can attain it. We just have to follow them. You know, I've met people who've said... Oh, Krishna, yeah, I've done that stuff. Done that, yeah. I'm into angels now. They haven't... Honestly, they think that the angels are going to... Of course, the angels are so kind. They're there as well. The demigods are there. The angels, the devas, they're all there. The nature spirits, they're all there. We don't deny that that the angels are there. And they're also doing a good job for you. But they won't sort out. I tell you something. The angels do not know Krishna, nor do the archangels know Krishna. They know of Almighty Lord, whom they serve in deferential nature, but they don't know him. There's a devotee at the moment who's writing a book about this. He's a senior devotee. And he's convinced that all the archangels know Krishna. But I didn't want to say, because he's superior to me, but I'll say behind his back. Which is not very nice. That the archangels do not know Krishna. I stake my... I haven't got anything to state. I haven't got a reputation, so I can't state anything. But I'm sure... Not that I want them not to know Krishna, but they're serving that Lord who is unknown. They don't mention Krishna when they come and do their miracles. If you are a messenger of Krishna... a servant of Krishna, direct, you will mention, you have to mention Krishna's or Vishnu's name. You'll have to, because you know that that is the thing that will, not the thing, that is the object of their love, which they are missing in their lives. So the archangels, they do incredible service. And they are wonderful, wonderful people, with powers way beyond anything I can dream of. But they can't give you, and they don't give you Krishna. They give you kindness, care, compassion, even miracles. But they don't give you the Nam. And it's Nam. And even as devotees, we underestimate that until we get a little taste of some sort, you know, or see someone who's got a taste for it. And then we think, oh, maybe there's something in this process. Yeah, I like vegetarianism, I like Bishad. And that's chanting, dancing, it's nice, a bit of fun. I'm a musician, so I can make a bit of a noise, a bit of a racket and join in. Then after a while, if you look around, you see that people have got a taste. Some people have got a taste, it's frightening. And if your eyes are open, your ears are open, you can see these people everywhere. They're right in front of me. There's all these demigods and demigoddesses. You don't think you are. You don't know you are. But you are. You have been. So, Rishabdev, excuse me, he was, in a sense, a minor incarnation. Ramadi Murti Shukalanya Mena Tishtana Avatara Makaro Bhuvaneshu Kindu Krishna Swayam Sabhava Paramahapumanyo Govinda Mari Purusham Tamam Bhajami. So Ram, Shinga, Vamana Dev, these are his subjective portions. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, from whom all the other avatars are expanding and reliant, in a sense, upon for their potencies. And all the worlds that we, these, you know, the three worlds that we are stuck within, going up and down, Abrahma Bhuvan, all look up, uptimes, sometimes down, sometimes in the middle, sometimes they're all Krishna's makings. And then if we get that purview to look and see that there are all these little globes floating on the causal ocean, and that there's billions of them, we get some small idea of how great Krishna is. Rishabdev, what he did is astounding. And before you came in, I read some bibliography of him. What he did, the emperor, is comparable to Yudhisthira. No, even more than that, Prithu as well. Came after him. Just astonishing. And he developed writing. He developed different kinds of philosophy. He developed the varnas. Unbelievable. And how to be successful in them. If you look at Google, I was astonished to see what he did. And that after that, he renounced it all and became this incredible personality. And yet, sorry, Lord Rishabdev, just a minor sort of afterthought of Krishna's, in that sense, in comparison with what Krishna is. And this world, the same, just an afterthought almost. Know that almighty and glorious creations spring up from a spark of my splendor, a spark. So Krishna's this unknowable fire, that the size of which and the volume of which, and it's not describable. And this spark, a spark has made all this. Galoka namini jadami tale chatasya devi mahesha haridama sute 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 te prabhava nichaya vihitas chayena govinda madhipurusham. Lowest of all is Devi Dham. Next of where we are. Next above it is Mahesh Dham, where Lord Shiva is, which goes through the coverings and halos into the spiritual sky. Next above that is Haridam. And above them all is Haridam, is where the spiritual planets are, you know. And above them all is Goloka. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who gives the potency, he endows each of the leaders of those graded realms with the potency to control. So we're chanting his name on the streets. We're chanting his names. We should be shaking, isn't it? Oh my goodness. I should think twice when I rock and roll it a bit, you know. I hope this is all right. But then I know I'm in Lord Chaitanya's movement. Not yours, Krishna. I'm in Lord Chaitanya's movement. And Adosha Dashi, he doesn't see faults in anyone. Ha ha ha. Vamana Vamana Dev. Lord Chaitanya's movement, thank God. And he's so tolerant, and he just, anything, I'll accept that, I can use that, I can work with that. There's a brand of people out there who can go with that. Yeah, let's go for it, let's do it. And so this is bhakti yoga. And if we just attain steadiness in it, we can get it. People who said, oh, I've done Krishna consciousness and I've done the angels and all that stuff now and it's all much better, they didn't get to that stage where they got a taste. And, you know, I haven't really got a taste, but I've had a kind of, by the mercy of the devotees, had a shadow of a taste or a shadow of a taste. And that's mind-blowing. And you, those who've been around, who've had a little shadow of a taste, or a real taste, they know. Woo! It's real. Everything that Prabhupada said is true. Everything that the Goswamis said is absolutely 100% stone-bonking true. And we're in receipt of that. First thing we should do, or we can do, or I think we do, is show our gratitude by at least trying to have a go, you know, at this process ourselves and give it a good. You know that the song Om Namo Bhagavate, that we did it yesterday. I know that I do some things that I think Hari Nam goes, Nam Prabhu goes. But at the end, sometimes I sing songs about Krishna at the end of the Hari Nam, just like a little bit of a relax and stuff. And yesterday we sang that song about thanks. But gratitude is the way through, to be grateful for everything, because we are. I mean, I just gobble down the prasad like it's just something that I've got to eat to stop feeling hungry. But when you start to, one day I got slowed up. Just one time in my blinking life, I'm so ungrateful. There's a boy in Soho Street called Adwaita. Oh, sorry, I can't even remember his name. But I'll remember it later and tell you. He's a great, great cook, like some of the great cooks you have here. The prasadam is delicious. And by the way, your where's mum? You made that zucchini yesterday, didn't you? Was it you, this lady? Was it you? Are you Hari Namananda's mum?
No.
I'm so young to be his mum. I was just testing. Hari Namananda, don't worry. He's only seven. So anyway, Hari Namananda's mum, I actually ate zucchini for the first time yesterday. Oh my God. It was so well spiced that I could actually tolerate it. And I went, wow, this is amazing. Please tell your mum that zucchini is now on my list of things, provided it's cooked like that. So I was talking about that. One day I was having, we'd done the class at Soho Street and we'd go out and do Hari Nam afterwards. And I was just having a little bit of Mahaprasad, and I had a dokra. And I just thought, oh, nice, use Mahaprasad. And I ate it like that, and I went, oh my God, oh, I think I want to cry. This is so beautiful. I actually discovered that prasadam has a real taste, it's transcendental taste. Only happened once. And then I said, who cooked that? And that boy, and I said to him, Prabhu, your cooking is just staggering. I mean, when I ate it, I almost burst into tears. Does anyone have that experience? You've had it? Thank God I'm not so weird then. It's so wonderful, isn't it? And then you think, oh my God, now start to look at everything in your life that surrounds you and be grateful, because all the things that are there, the facilities that are there for us, and we're just going, oh yeah, right, okay, yeah, okay, you know, whatever, you know, just eat, drink, dance, be merry. And then we don't know when we're going to have a group like Namruchi group with the boys. We don't know when we're going to meet them again. Or someone like you is irrepressible, Nam Prabhu personified. We don't know when we're going to have those things. It might be next week when we're completely on our own somewhere and we're wishing we had that food, that association, that music. And they're not there. But we've got one good thing, smaranam, remembrance. We can remember them. And by remembering, we can recreate them. Not that, oh, I can replace you by this, or I can replace you guys by that. But we can remember that, and what happens? We feel gratitude. When we feel gratitude, the heart softens. What happens when the heart softens? It's a place where no one wants to be. Then life is worth living again. It's a continual process of fighting with our lower nature, and my God, I've got one. But I also know that Krishna loves me. I actually know that. I don't know if you know it, but if you don't, you should. He accepts us warts and all. And his proof of it is each day we can breathe air. Isn't that amazing? Such a great... I went through a stage, I'm not... Hopefully I've passed through it now, where I used to choke and nearly die. And then at that moment I used to really pray, like, and think, oh my God, if I just get that breath of air, I'd be so grateful. I want to continue living. All I need is the air that I breathe just to love you. That's all we need. Just that. That's, you can meditate on that all day and just get high on Krishna's things that he's doing for us. Bhumiya apona lo vayu. And all the rest. So we've got this miracle of a body. My body is a miracle, a great and wondrous thing. My mind is just amazing too. It's fun when we're all chanting. Something like that anyway. So the mind and the body are just these amazing miracles. You know, we might think, oh, I'm not the body, Prabhu, you know. Whoa, I wish I was the body. It's a great thing. I wish I could make one or two myself. And I think I do when I procreate with someone. But that is another miracle that's going on. Instead, you just put this there, she just puts that there, excuse me, and then you've got this miracle again. What is that? Where can we build? Where can those scientists build those? They'll never build them. They may do great things. They may take us to this place and that place and the other. But they'll never do one that just self-replicates with consciousness. Or if they do, it's Krishna Bhagavan inside it, giving the opportunity and the intelligence and the know-how and the potency to do it. And there's still, the greatest miracle is these great, great scientists are turning around and saying, here is no God. And I say, that's the miracle. You've got so much incredible intelligence, and yet it still remains beyond your purview. Wow, what a miracle! You don't believe in God? You are a miracle yourself. You're a walking, talking miracle. He's a walking, talking miracle. Yes, he is a walking, talking miracle. Excuse me, Lord. I'm looking at you, Lord Chaitanya. No, Lord Nityananda. Nityananda. Nityananda Vatu Tendu Vasudha Prana Valava Janava Jivadipati Krishna Prem Padabrabhu Padmavati Sutta Sriman Sachinandana Purvaja Bhavan Mato Jagatrata Rapto Gauri Kaleva Ram, the 12 names of Lord Nityananda Ki Jai. Anyway, is it time yet? Oh, I've got to talk about myself a bit more. I haven't even asked anybody got any questions. No, why? Because it's about me. It's all about me. Has anybody got any questions or comments? I probably can't answer them. Unless it's about me. Unless it's about me. If it's favourably about me. Thank you, brother. So you're asking how to become steady when all the distractions of life are there, like having to work, having to... I think Krishna knows how. We don't sometimes. So if you get that person to try to take a little bit of Krishna into their life and just add it in, then he'll start to work on them. And when it starts to work on them, something called the will or desire comes in. And when there's... You know the saying, where there's a will, there's a way. Have you heard that? Do you have that phrase? Where there's a will, there's a way. So give what you can, palatably, nicely. It will come in
Krishna will start working on them. They'll then develop a will. When there's a will, there's a way, and then they'll start to think, okay, maybe I could cut that back, do a little bit more of that, a little less of this. You know, talking, sorry, about myself again, when I was more serious about Krishna consciousness, and we had a Namahatta at our house for 20 years, and I was fired up Krishna consciousness, and now I'm just fired up. But what happened was, I'd gone from earning a lot of money to a little money, and, you know, performing this basic process of Krishna consciousness, and I was earning money from doing healing, and I opened up a little shop in Romford, and I would preach from there as well. And our Namaha came from that, fortunately. Shiva Ramaraj said to me, Jayadev, when I first heard what you were doing, I wasn't into it. But when I saw how many devotees came from it, I'm into it. So what happened was that we had a Namaha, and then we did book distribution door to door, Harinam every week, and I was, you know, more fired up then, and more regulative and regulated than I am now. Sorry to say, but this phase I'm going through, it's just a phase. It's a phase that's doing it, not me. And it's the stars. But what happened was that we were living very simply. We had to, because we didn't have enough money. But we always had enough money. It was astonishing. I look back, and there was never a time when we were hungry. There's never a time when I really needed something that I didn't get it. And even to the point where at one point the car was, you know, just falling to pieces. And I needed a new car. This is a quick story I have to tell you. This is a bit funny as well. So some insurance money came from something I wasn't expecting. We got £4,000, which for me at that time was a lot of money. And we got this. Someone said, look, don't keep getting these old bangers. Get something decent that will last you some time. So I got this decent car. And it was parked in the front yard. And I walk up down Chandra Rounds, and I just look out at this nice, shiny car. Wow, that's nice. And walk up and down and look at this nice, shiny car. And chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna. Anyway, a few days later, I had an incredible thing happen. I was going to my little record company. I was doing New Age records out to Suffolk. And this guy... This guy was on a motorbike. A motorbike. He came past me. And then he pulled up really quickly. And I was going about 50. And it was a wet day, as it always is in England. And it was a wet day. And I skidded. And I'm looking at myself, going at this man. And I'm going, no, Krishna, no, no. And then just some or other, I just missed him. And I'm turning like this to try and get out of the way of this traffic. And then I'm going straight head on to the traffic that was coming the other way. I'm now on the other side of the road. And then I go up a grass verge, and I zoom into the air. I'm still doing 40 or 50 miles an hour. By this time, guess what I did? Chanted Hare Krishna so nicely. You cannot believe. I was so thrilled. By the time my car came down, smash, it was ruined. But I went... Krishna, I chanted your name. Because I used to think when devotees go, Hare Krishna, when a car crash is coming. So first of all, the car was ruined. So Krishna took my Maya out. And then he made me chant his name, like really, really attached. So he saved me then. Then the local police, they're all from the East Anglia, they came in and they saw that he was a local man whom I nearly knocked off their bike, and they were friends of his. So they went, who are we going to take you down to the police station? I went, oh, okay, well, what for? Driving dangerously. You nearly killed this man, he told us. So they got me in this room, and they were really grilling me. And I was like, oh, my God. I'm not only lost my car, but now I'm going to get, fined heavily. So the wife of the man who fell off his bike and all that, his wife came at the same time to pick him up. At the same time, our record company executive came to pick me up, because both of us were without our, and he couldn't drive because he was in a state of shock. So
the police were really hammering me like this. And we're going to do you. You should have seen this. You should have seen that. We got a case against you. And I thought, oh, no. Okay, I've lost the car and I've got Krishna. But now I've got this problem. I'm going to get done. But the woman said to the police at the desk, did he fall off his bike? And they said, yes. She said, I told him he shouldn't drive his bike today. Yesterday he came off his bike and he was in no fit state to drive. She shouldn't have said that, of course. But she said it to the policeman. My friend was there, heard it all. And he came in and said, the policeman said, right, we're giving you full notice, we're going to nick you. You'll have a thing for the court in 10 days or something like that. And he came in and said, excuse me, I just want to tell you what you said. And the policeman went, tore it up, and I was free. What a protection that was, like all those things in one thing. I've got this car, I'm thinking, yeah, rock and roll, this is the one, yeah, great, I've got a nice car at last. Too attached, Krishna took it away. Got me attached to his chanting, and saved me from being nicked by these people. What chances could I get away with that? What chances, but super souls arranged for that woman, that man to be there at the same time, to speak like that. And I can tell you, my life is full of those things. My son said he wanted, sorry, now I'm going over the top. My son said, Dad, I want to be a drummer. And every drummer wants his kid to be a drummer, you know. So I said, oh, brilliant. You can have my old drum kit. And he went, no, Dad, I don't want your own drum kit. I want a kit. We don't think that kids have got their own life. We think, you know, they're just ours, you know, and do what you want to do. So I went, well, I'm not earning so much money now. Maybe we'll get it on HP. I'd never had higher purchase in my life. Always, you know, worked hard and had enough money. And then when we were rich, we could just buy what we want. Now I'm in this situation. And I said, well, and he said, Dad, I've worked through the holidays. I've got £300 for a deposit because I didn't have £300 to put down because you have to put up a deposit down. So I said, great, we're in business. I'll take care of the payments after that. Let's go and get a drum kit. So we went to the drum shop. And there was this guy there. He was very haughty, you know. He was a musician. And he was envious. I didn't realize, but he was envious of me for being a successful musician in a pappy band. It wasn't a heavy, grungy band. It was just a pop band, you know. And he was all the root beds. Yeah, like that. Anyway, it was like that. I'll tell you about him later. So, but this is the amazing thing that happened. So he said, yeah, which one do you want? So my son said, I want those drums. And can I have this cymbal? We chose the cymbals. We got the cymbals. The cymbals are the most expensive part of a drum kit. So we got it all together. It was £1,250. So they said, I hope Bhagavatam is not minding this. So I said, okay, HP. So he said, yeah, all right, okay. So said I have to put £300 down. And then I started to sign, fill out the form. And he went, of course, you're not self-employed, are you? I said, yeah, I'm self-employed. And he went, ripped it apart and said, we don't do self-employed. And I thought, oh my God. And this is because I'm proud as a person, you know. I want to always see myself, I think I'm the giver and the doer, you know. And I couldn't get my own son a drum kit. I know it that, you know, when kids can't even eat and or you know, they're dying around the world, it's, you have to put it in perspective. But in this particular thing, it was a big thing for me, you know. And then we both walked down the street, him feeling depressed that he couldn't get a drum kit after working through the holidays. And me depressed that after all the things I'd had and done and been, I didn't have the money to buy him a kit, so I was feeling really bad. So I got home, I let him stew on it a little bit, and then I said, Siddhartha, I've still got my cymbals. They are, if I polish them up, they're just as good as new. They don't degrade. The sound stays exactly the same. You know that. So he went, all right then. So I polished them up, took a few hours, said, here's the cymbals. Now all we need to do is get the drums. Let's go and check out how much they are. So he said, I don't think I want to go down there with all that again. I said, well, just go in there and have a look and ask someone else, not him, that guy. So we asked someone else and he said, okay, all you need is £450. After the £300 had been paid, we only needed £450. So I thought, okay, £450. How am I going to get £450? I can't get £450. I can't even get it. I can't
can't see anything coming in. So anyway, we went back home. Next day I'm chanting away. The postman comes. And I didn't get up and say, well, it's what's in the post. You know, I was actually, my rounds were, I was thinking they're more important than Facebook, which wasn't invented then, or the postman. But in the end, after I finished around, I got up, went to the thing, a letter, a check from EMI Records for something that I'd done 20 years before, and finally they found out where I lived. £450. Krishna's such a joker, isn't he? He's so ironic, and he's so amazing, and he's so... And we went and got the drum kit. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Sri Krishna Bhagavan, the supplier, the permitter, the doer of everything. Ki Jai. Garanga Mahaprabhu, the tolerator of Jayadev. Ki Jai. Vanchakavatravishya, Kripasindhu, Bhivacha, Patitanam, Pavanevi, Vaishnavi, Namo Namaha.